All right, I'm going to tell you a quick secret, and that is that even at Christmas time, I don't always make the best choices, and I am not always the best dressed. We have a book tonight about the Herdmans, and the Herdmans don't always make the best choices, and they are not always the best dressed, but they got to be part of the best Christmas pageant ever. All right. There the Herdmans are. The Herdmans were the worst kids in the history of the world. They lied, and they stole, and they played with matches. Yeah. They were so awful, you could hardly believe they were real. There were six of them: Ralph, Imogene, Leroy, Claude, Ollie, and Gladys. They were skinny and stringy-haired and dirty and all different sizes with all different black and blue places where they clonked each other. They lived above a garage, and when they didn't have anything else to do, they liked to see if they could hit each other with the garage door going up and down, squashing each other, or the mailman, or their crazy one-eyed cat. Everyone stayed away from them. Well, one day, they showed up at Sunday school. They stole all the money out of the offering plate and drew mustaches on everyone in the Bible. And then, though nobody knows how, they took over our Christmas pageant. Our Christmas pageant is always the same. Kids in bathrobes and bedsheets acting out the story of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus being born. Everybody knows the story. Everybody except the Herdmans. That didn't stop them from picking out the best parts for themselves. "I'll be the Mary," Imogene yelled, "and Ralph, he'll be the Joseph." Everyone else was afraid to volunteer. That left three Herdmans, Leroy, Claude, and Ollie, to be the wise men, and the worst Herdman of all, to be the angel of the Lord. Gladys hollered, "I want to be that. What is it?" So then somebody had to read this whole story to them about the star and the shepherds and how there was no room in the inn and how baby Jesus slept in a manger. The Herdmans were shocked. "They stuck him out in the barn," Imogene yelped, "and they tied Jesus up in rags and put him in a feed box? At least we put Gladys in a dresser drawer." Then they heard about the wise men bringing gifts of oil and frankincense. Claude said, "What good is smelly oil? If we're the wise men, let's bring pizza." Every year, someone lent us their baby to be the baby Jesus. Not this year. Nobody would trust a Herdman with their baby, so Imogene offered to steal one from the grocery market. "There's always babies in carts there," she said. "Let's forget about a baby," said someone. "We used a doll instead." Every rehearsal was an adventure. Leroy wanted to chase the mean innkeeper out of town, and Claude and Ollie wanted to run off with the baby to keep him safe. Imogene said she wouldn't have named him Jesus. She would have named him Bill, and she wouldn't let the wise men worship him.
"Get away from that baby," she barked at them. "You might have germs."
When Gladys found out the angel of the Lord appeared out of nowhere in the black of night, she was sure it was from Amazing Comics.
"Shazam!"
she yelled, smacking the kid next to her. Gladys liked to smack things. Our Mary was loud and bossy, the wise men were sneaky, and the angel of the Lord was from outer space. This was going to be the worst Christmas pageant ever. Some people wanted to cancel the whole thing. The minister said, "I don't think anyone will come see it." But they were all wrong. Everybody came to see what the Herdmans would do. When the curtain opened, Ralph and Imogene stood in the wings, frozen as if they weren't sure what to do. They weren't pushing or hitting or being herdsmen. The chorus waited and hummed, hummed and waited, just like a fridge. When they finally came in, Imogene had the baby Jesus slung over her shoulder. Then She thumped it hard on its back twice. There was a gasp. It didn't seem right to burp the baby Jesus. But that was the whole point of Jesus. He was a real person, and he started out as a real baby. His parents were real, too, as real as Imogene, with her veil all crooked and Ralph with his hair sticking out, as if they'd slept in their clothes out in the barn, just like in the real story. Then came Gladys from behind the shepherds, shoving them out of the way and stepping on everyone's feet. "Hey," she yelled, "unto you a child is born. He's out in the barn." She made it sound like it was the best news in the whole world. Right behind Gladys were the wise men, but they didn't have the usual frankincense, gold, and oil, and they didn't have pizza. Instead, Leroy was carrying something big and heavy. It was a ham from the herdman's food basket. The church gave them one every year. The herdmans had never before given anything away except clunks on the head, so you had to be impressed. The herdmans gave the baby Jesus their Christmas ham. Then the wise men were supposed to leave and go home, but instead they sat down. Actually, it seemed like the right thing to do. They'd come all that way, and you wouldn't expect them just to hand over the ham and go. It seemed natural, too, to burp a baby who might be fussy or tired, or for someone to tell the people where the baby was so they wouldn't have to wander all over the place. Somehow, every wrong thing that the herdmans did seemed right and natural. And then, as everyone sang Silent Night, Imogene started to cry. In the candlelight, her face was all shiny with tears. Awful old Imogene with her crookedy veil, crying as if Christmas had come over her all at once. When everyone left the church that night, it was cold and clear, with crunchy snow underfoot and bright, bright stars in the sky. Everyone said there was something different about the Christmas pageant this year. Though nobody could say exactly what that something different was, but everyone agreed it was the best Christmas pageant ever. And that's the best Christmas pageant ever. Very real story about very real kids telling the very real story about baby Jesus. You guys want to get your candy cane on your way back to your seat?
Christmas is for children of all ages. Don't let little boy or little girl inside you die. Keep that baby, keep that little boy, that little girl alive. And I watched everybody leaning in on that. We were all about 6 years old, right? That was beautiful. The herdmans giving their ham to Jesus. I'm not sure how that goes in a kosher family, but hey, you give what you have to give, hey? Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you to our musicians and vocalists and everyone else who's helping make tonight a reality. We have been in a series on Sunday mornings for the last few weeks talking about the incarnation. Now, if that's a new word to you, you really know what it means. You just haven't married it to its definition. The incarnation simply and profoundly means that God chose to become human. It was a choice he made. And all week I've been thinking about why he made that choice. I received a card in the mail, a Christmas card, this week that just touched me deeply. It's from Bob and Jackie Adams, whom I've known since 1980. And I opened the card and it says, simply but profoundly on the front, when you realize who he is, you will understand why he came. And so the sense is that we were in great desperation and darkness. It was a little bit like that James Taylor song. I don't know how many of you know the Walking Man, but moving in silent desperation. That's where the human race was. And we really were hopeless. And God said, we're going to do something about it. Basically, we have been infected with a disease that would destroy us forever. Sin. And God knew the only way that He could bring us back to Himself was if He entered our disease and took it on Himself and killed it. And that's what the crucifixion was all about. It's kind of like if we have a disease today and the only way that we can find a cure is to have a transfusion from someone else. Their life is injected into our death, and their life overcomes our disease and gives us life again. This is the incarnation. This is Christmas, that God chose to become flesh and to dwell among us and to be one of us. He came in our likeness so we could become like Him. And Christmas really begs for celebration. I mean, we were people of desperation. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a school field trip. Raise your hand, as a student or as a parent or as a teacher. Aren't they really interesting? A school field trip. I remember one of our kids was, it was my turn, you know. You know what I mean by that. My wife had been on the last one, and it was my turn. And so I went on the next one. And it just so happened that the probably fifth grade class or something like that, we were going to endless caverns. Kind of a scary place to take grade school children, don't you think? And their parents. And I remember that we met this stranger, total stranger. He acted like he knew what was going on. He could have just slept at Holiday Inn Express last night. Maybe he didn't know a thing about caves or caverns. And we allowed him to lead us deep down into the belly of those caverns. And he was a real smart aleck, you know. He was way up at the head of the line. I was at the back of the line. I heard him say, hey, I want you all to experience something. Hey, do we get a vote on this, you know, if we want to experience this? He said, I want you to experience cave darkness. What kind of a sicko is this? And he cuts off the lights. He's the only one who knows where the switch is. And it was a scary, scary time. I mean, the fifth graders were doing fine, but I was about to go out of my mind. And I did make a few decisions after that. If I ever went caving again, I'd have my own flashlight. And I went again, and I had it. And I was much more comforted. But that whole cave darkness thing did something else for me. It reminded me of the desperation that we were in. We had been led into an endless cavern that was going to take us to destruction. And some smart aleck, you know, we call him the devil, he decided he was going to put us in darkness for forever. And he hit the switch, but he didn't calculate that the King of Light was coming after us. And this is Christmas. That's why we have all the lights, you know. It's because we were lost in desperate darkness, no hope. We needed a Savior, and God came on a rescue mission. And He became one of us, became a baby, so that He could understand us and we could identify with Him. And, you know, He disarmed us with Christmas so that we would be drawn to Him. And so I hope that the incarnation becomes more important for all of us after this season because of the desperation, and that as a result would turn it into a celebration. Christmas really should be a celebration because darkness did not win. Now, I want to speak to you tonight individually. Maybe your life is desperate. I want you to know that if you had been the only one lost in darkness, God would have sent His Son. He would have come for you. Because in the Bible it says things like this. What will a man or a woman give in exchange for their soul? The whole earth, the whole world? So that all means from God's perspective that one soul is worth the whole world. And so maybe you're in a desperate place. Maybe you're desperate in your health. Maybe you're desperate in your finances. Maybe you're desperate in relationships. Maybe you're desperate in emotional situation. And it could be a host of other things. I want you to know tonight that you don't have to be left in that cave darkness because of Christmas. You can just call on the name of Jesus and He will bring the light to your dark situation. He will bring the celebration to your desperation. And that's what Christmas is all about. I ask three ladies to sing a song for us tonight. I'm going to ask them to come now. Sydney and Haley and Olivia. You know, at Christmas we had the three wise guys, wise men. And I figured we ought to just balance that out finally and have the three wise ladies. They're going to sing a song. Let me set it up for just a moment. My wife Kim and I were back in Harkers Island, North Carolina. That's where I was born and bred. That's why I talk funny. A little island accent. And we were there just a few weeks ago with my mother, Lady Melba. And we went to the Christmas music concert at the little church where I was raised, Free Grace Wesleyan Church on the old Ferry Dock Road. And the place was packed like this. A little smaller building, but it was packed. And a young lady got up and she sang this song. At first you might say, is that really a Christmas song? I think if it's anything, it's a Christmas song. But immediately I made a note that we ought to have that song here on Christmas Eve. Because it really speaks about desperation. It really speaks about how we were lost in darkness and the King of Light showed up. And the song is titled, Take Me to the King. Now, I want to do something a little different. Don't worry, you're not going to get hurt. Just help or hope if you want it. But I like for all of us that are able, if you're holding a kid or you're just tired of standing, just stay in your seat. But anyone else who would like to stand, I'd like for you to stand during this song. I don't know if you've worshipped yet during the Christmas season, but I'm here to report this is a song you can worship to. You know how to sing it. It might be a new song to you. But you can lift your heart in this song. This song has desperation in it, but it also has celebration. And so this Christmas, I call you to the King of Light. Whatever darkness you may find yourself in, He's greater. He's greater. He can overwhelm that darkness, that desperation, and give to you His light, give to you celebration. And so let's stand now as the song is sung. And, you know, we have altars in the church. We have them here, not just for decor or furniture. But if anyone would like to pray tonight, I mean, we all can't come to the altar. We'd, you know, be in trouble. But if there are a few of you who are like, you know, on this Christmas Eve, it doesn't matter to me what people really think. I just like to pray. You know, I like to pray to this God who came to bring light to my darkness, to bring celebration to my desperation. It's okay. It's between you and the King, after all. Some of you might just want to pray where you are. Sometimes I tell our people, if you want to lift your hand, that will be a little radical. But sometimes I think God lives about right there, you know, in the service. So maybe you'd want to touch. I don't know. I'm just telling you to respond like you want to. But let's make this song our song of worship. Because we definitely were and are desperate for Christmas, especially the King of Christmas. His name is Jesus. Look at the person next to you and just say, His name is Jesus. God is present. The King is among us. His name is Jesus. Pastor, what are you really trying to say? Well, I'd really rather try to show it to you, maybe. And I'm not as bad as the cave folk. But could we just have all the lights out that we could put out? Whoever's in charge of the lights. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. Whatever darkness you're in, point your face to the King of Christmas. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me." And so this is Christmas. This is the baby Jesus. He came in glory. He wrote us into his story. And he said, "I am the light you've been longing for." And so I invite you during this season to turn your face to the light, to turn from sin and turn to him. He will not disappoint you. He will be your king. That means he'll lead your life. He will never leave you or forsake you. You will not be alone. You will always have relationship with him. We come now to a special part of what we do here on Christmas Eve. And we're going to have the candlelight in time. And so in a moment, we will bring live fire your way. And that means everything you've thought about and some things you haven't. If you have children with you at from 2 to 92, just be aware of their candle. One year we did set one kid on fire on the platform, but we got him out real quick. And he's still here tonight. He's 17 now. I won't say his name. So I just want to make sure you know it's going to be live fire. Those of you up around the top, if you would back up about 12 inches and hold your candle, that would make the people below you much more comfortable. So we want that to happen. I want to tell you that during this candlelight and song portion, that you can come to the King. You can give your life to Christ because he gave his life for yours. It's very personal. You might pray something like this: "Lord, I admit that I've been walking in darkness. Tonight, on this Christmas Eve, I want to turn from darkness and I want to go with you. Tonight, Lord, I believe that you are my only hope. And so I ask that I would be born again and that you would be born in me. I know you were born in Bethlehem, but I want my heart to be the manger, and I want you to be born in me. I believe that I matter to you." And then confess to someone. Just tell someone. Before you leave tonight or before you go to bed tonight, just confess to someone. "You know, on this Christmas Eve, I didn't get religion, but I did get in a relationship with Jesus, the King of Light. And I promise you that you will go away saying it was the best night of your life. And the rest of your days will be the best of your days." Now, you don't have to pray in the words I gave you. I just gave you a sampling of how you might pray during the Psalms. You know, the thief on the cross, he got it down to less words. He was not a preacher, obviously. The thief on the cross next to Jesus, he simply said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." You see, because Jesus looks on the heart. And so tonight, in whatever way you'd like to approach him, he'll never be more approachable than he is at Christmas. It will never be easier to turn from darkness and turn to light than during the Christmas season. So I invite you tonight to do business for your own soul with the King of Glory, the baby King. His name is Jesus. Well, we don't want to catch the manger afire. So Well, he's already been born there anyway. That's what I want your soul to look like from heaven's point of view tonight. I want the glory of the Lord to shine upon you and within you, upon me and within me. And so once the light is passed, you can just go wherever you want and share it with someone. I will say that it works best if you keep the lit candle upright and lean the unlit ones. And this is the wonder of Christmas. May our hearts be ever tender to the wonder of the story when our God came near to save us, leaving heaven's perfect glory. As a baby in a manger on a silent starry night to a world so lost in darkness, Jesus Christ became our light. May his wondrous love shine brightly in our hearts this Christmas and in the new year. Thanks to Mike and Carolyn Lewis for giving us that blessing through a card tonight. Before you extinguish your candle, I would like to say that this is about our eighth year. We have a Christmas ornament, one per family, or per, you know, wherever you stay, you know what I mean, per household, whether you're single or whatever. We like each household to have one of our little ornaments. This year is kind of special. You get to color the ornament. I just thought that might be special therapy for some of us. So, you know, over the holidays, you know, that one relative that you really, not real sure about getting too close to them. Oh, get a box of crayons from the dollar store and sit down with them, and you might be surprised what a little coloring ornament might do. But anyway, I think I saw Karen and Edie trying to help people find seats. If they are listening to me and would come forward and get these white tubs, they're on the side here. And if no one sees them moving rapidly, then two people who know Karen or Edie, please come get these tubs. And we'll have them at the back doors as you leave. I see Karen, and I think I see Edie. Yep, here she comes. Edie's coming. She just put her milkshake down right back there. I saw her. But if you ladies wouldn't mind to take the white tubs and just go right back to the double doors, one on each side. And as you leave, please take an ornament and know that you're loved. And take time to color it if you can. Now, we have tables set up in the foyer in case you don't have crayons. You can color your ornament before you leave tonight, as long as you're fast and not slow. Because we're going to be leaving quickly like you are. But we do have the crayons or pencils or whatever, about three tables full out there. If you want to take time to color your ornament, you're more welcome. I was joking. Take your time. Get it right. You know, get it in the lines or whatever. So please, please do that. Finally, I would like to say that some of our pastors and our shepherd staff are moving forward to be at the front here of the church. If you would like to have someone pray with you tonight, somebody with skin on, you know, you prayed, but you'd like to have someone agree with you in a prayer, we'll ask you to just come, you know, at the very end here in just a moment, just walk up to the front, and those people are beginning to move, I'm sure, even now, to come up and help me in case someone wants to have prayer. Thank you, Pastor Roger, for leading the way, and we'd love to have a prayer with you if you would like a prayer tonight. We don't need to be needed. We just want to be available in case you don't have someone to pray with you tonight in maybe a desperate situation. Pastor Joe, did I forget anything?
I just wanted to say you guys look beautiful under candlelight. And when you do extinguish the candle, if you can make sure it stays upright for a while, because that wax is wet, it will spill, and somebody will have to clean up the wax of like 800 candles. And that's not a fun job, so if you could just kind of make sure it dries before you tilt it over. And then also, the container should be on the way out. Please just drop them in there on your way out, the candles.
And everyone said on three, hooray for Christmas. One, two, three, hooray for Christmas. Merry Christmas, y'all. God bless you.